Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. As you do that each week, you'll draw closer to Christ and know Him more.
God's human instruments need to hear the requests of God's people so that they can help through prayer and through other means. True servants of the Lord are moved to compassion when others personally share their burdens. So I urge you as a church, this is what's strengthening to a church family. This is what's strengthening to the people of God.
Here's Rich with the background for the lesson today.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles together to 2 Kings chapter 4, where we learn of a woman who is walking through a deep, deep trial. She suffers the loss of her precious husband, and then she has no means by which to pay creditors who are hounding her, and she wonders whether or not she's even going to be able to survive. And yet the Lord meets her in the midst of her difficulty, in the midst of her need. The Lord loves to do this with us. You know, I wish that the Lord would ordain life for us where believers would never experience any of the pains and the sorrows of this broken world. That's my wish, but it's a wish based on ignorance. I know that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, that God's ways are higher than my ways, and God tells us simply trust Him, and we'll see in the end how He's working great suffering for His glory and for our good. This story reminds us of that truth, a truth we need to be reminded of, so let's open the Bible together today.
God tells us this in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul says, "For this momentary light affliction," Paul's eyes were so laser sharp, I'm sure some of these thoughts rolled through his soul, but he dismissed them as he attached by faith to God's promises. He says, "This light momentary affliction," and he had so much suffering, but he calls it light momentary affliction, is what? It's actually working. It's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. In other words, it's being used to bring about an eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory we wouldn't have without this light momentary affliction. And this glory, it is beyond all comparison. And he goes on to say, so we look not at the things that are seen, but things that are unseen. That's where our hearts are riveted. For the things that are seen, they're all passing away. They're all transient. But the things which are unseen, these are the things that are absolutely eternal. So here this dear woman, she's first made a widow. She's made destitute. She's threatened with the enslavement of her sons. In her desperation, what does she do? She seeks out God's servant. She knows she needs the Lord, and she knows that her access to the Lord is through God's servant, Elisha. The point here is that God uses her desperation to ignite a flame of faith in her soul. And that's what happens. You know, here's the truth. Our faith sleeps when all is well in our life. Isn't that true? I've discovered that's true for me. When everything's great, it's like, whoo, you know, hey, you know, tomorrow's going to be like today. Everything's good. And God often uses storms to shake us awake so that we would take shelter in the Lord. Our desperation activates our faith. Secondly, God's character directs our faith. So in verse 2, we see how Elisha says, "What shall I do for you?" She's going to the Lord's servant because she believes something about the Lord. She knows that the Lord is a compassionate God, is filled with mercy. She knows that the Lord has made a way for her to approach Him and to present to Him her need. She knows that. She knows that God is the Lord who loves and cares for His people. She knows the Lord will respond to her request. He's a God who hears. She knows that the Lord God has a tender heart toward widows in their distress. It is what she knows about God that directs her faith to the Lord. So I ask you, do you know what this widow knows? So that in the midst of your desperation, it is your knowledge of God that directs your faith, not to anywhere else, but to the person of God Himself. What we believe about God determines what we do when we face disasters in our life. Our knowledge of God directs our faith upward to the Lord in times of need. And that's the opposite of a lack of knowledge of God. A lack of a knowledge of God will lead us into the darkness of our own selves, our own provision, or the darkness of despair itself. It leads us to all kinds of human solutions that are no solutions at all. Without a true knowledge of God, disaster directs us to dark despair. And notice that this woman then, she takes the initiative to go to Elisha. She's not passive in the midst of her need. And I think this is really important. She doesn't say to herself, the Lord already knows my sorrows. If he wants to help me, I guess he will. No, she takes action. That's what faith does. Faith is always active. Faith works. She goes to Elisha because she sees Elisha is ordained by God to be God's servant, mediate God's grace. She doesn't think, you know, if the Lord wants Elisha to minister to me, he's going to tell Elisha to come to me. She doesn't think, you know, Elisha, he's a man of God. He probably already knows my plight. I mean, he knew my husband. He will come to me if he really cares. And day after day, he's not coming. She's stewing, becoming more and more bitter and resentful toward God's servant. She doesn't say, Elisha for sure saw my post, my need on Facebook. And if he cared, he'd call me. That's not what she, did. Her faith is directed to the Lord and to take initiative to the Lord and to God's servants. And in this, she follows the path of so many who took the initiative to go to Jesus for help. There are too many to describe. I think the woman who suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years, remember? She sees Jesus and she just reached out. She just needs to touch it. She doesn't even need to talk to you. I just need to touch the hem of his garments. And that's what she does. She goes. I think the four guys who bring their paralytic friend, you know, they're not sitting home, hey, if Jesus really cares about it, he's going to come visit our home. No, they don't even send an invitation. What do? So many crowds, they get up on a roof and they carry a shovel with them and they dig through the roof of this guy's house and lower him down so that he could be in front of Jesus. That's faith that's taking initiative. That's faith that takes initiative. Friends, I urge you in the midst of your desperation, take the initiative and go directly to God. Go also to God's people, people who know Jesus and who can intercede on your behalf. Go to them. The Lord often uses his servants to represent him at the point of our need. And Elisha, he's eager to help. He has a tender heart for her, and he responds to a request. But here's the principle. God's human instruments need to hear the requests of God's people so that they can help through prayer and through other means. True servants of the Lord are moved to compassion when others personally share their burdens. So I urge you as a church, this is what's strengthening to a church family. This is what's strengthening to the people of God. When we take the initiative to bring our need to the Lord, but then also to one another. The application, I urge you, let us not be passive in our discouraging moments. You know, discouragement can bring isolation. It can tempt us, can't it? To say, I just want to sit in some dark corner of my home, never come out. I understand that temptation, but what faith does, it directs us. It directs us to take the initiative. So let's go to God, and let's ask those who know God to pray for us, and indeed to help us. I believe the church cannot be the church if we close our lives to one another. How can the church be a praying church if no one in the church is willing to share sufferings in their lives that needs God's intervention? How could we do that? Too many believers are so private with the needs of their lives that God's church is not able to pray, is not able to support one another, is not able to love in times of distress. I understand that some things need to be kept within a certain size circle. Bethany's a big church, and I understand the why people would say, let's keep it within this circle. But I urge you to challenge yourself toward a greater willingness to take the initiative to share needs with church leaders, needs with the church family, whether it's small group, Sunday school class, others, maybe even the whole church, right? And I believe this will be to the glory of God. I believe it's the way God works. You know, the story of the widow reminds us of God's loving heart, a loving heart that responds when we go to him in faith. Do you know that God cares for you personally? Do you know that? He invites you to come to him with all the details of your life. He is not too busy. He is not too constrained. He's always available, always present, always able, always willing. It's something about his character that's true of not any one of his servants, but he's always present. He's not limited by time or energy or location. And no detail of your life is too insignificant to take to him. The third lesson is that God's word instructs our faith. So look at verse 3 and 4 now. He tells her some very specific directions. So how do we know what God wants us to do in our times of need? Well, we look to the one and only source of truth. That's God's word. Here, God's messenger gives very specific directions to this widow. The prophet's word is the word of the Lord. That's who Elisha is. Today, we do not have these prophets, because we don't need them. We have the sure word, the established word, the eternal word of Scripture. It's a living word that God's Spirit uses to speak to his people. So it's more complete, it's more sufficient than having an Elisha. But how do we know what actions our faith is to take? So in the midst of our desperation, it's like, okay, what's the plan? What is my faith to do in this moment? And I would first caution you, don't allow your feelings to instruct your faith. Our feelings will often lead us astray. Like, this is what I feel like I should do. Well great, I don't doubt the sincerity of your feelings. I just doubt the wisdom of our feelings. Don't let religious experiences instruct your faith. Our experiences will often lead us astray. This is the experience I had, you know, this is the vision, this is the sign, whatever it might be. Don't let your experiences instruct your faith. It is God's word that's sure. Only God's word possesses this authority, this clarity, we'll say this sufficiency. This means it's important for us to pay close attention to the details that are given to us in God's word. The details are so important and vital. The little phrase, the devil is in the details. That's true. He is. But God is in the details too. And which details we apply are so important for the direction of God's provision to us. If we treat the details that are given to us in God's word as though they're insignificant, we will miss the blessing of the Lord. We'll be led astray. Also, if we treat the details that are not given to us in God's word, that flow out of our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own opinions, or our own religious experiences, details that are not given to us in God's word as though they are necessary, absolute, we'll miss God's blessing, we'll be led astray. Notice the detail that the Lord gives this woman. He says, go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Not just some of your neighbors, all your neighbors. The detail, go into a room with your sons and shut the door. It's real important, the door shut. Why is it so important the door shut? Well, we can guess about that, but it's important that the door is shut because the word of God tells her to shut the door. So, okay, shut the door. And then when you get in there with your sons, start pouring. Take your little bottle and just start pouring. And when you fill one of the jars, start pouring in the next one, and the next one after that, and the next one, until all of them are full. This woman's faith directs her to the instructions of God's word, and she obeys every instruction that God gives her to a T. Two truths that are in tension with each other. We often miss God's blessing because we neglect the details of the word. What do I mean by that? I'll just give you a few thoughts here. The Lord tells us to not be anxious for anything, but let our requests be made known through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. So that's a detail, isn't it? Like, okay, as I make this prayer, this request known, am I doing it with thanksgiving? Because it's a detail that God tells us to include in our making our request known with thanksgiving. It's important. It's like shut the door. It's important. God tells us that. He tells us that he loves cheerful givers. So is cheerful that much? As long as I'm giving, you know, I'm tithing 10% to God's church and to God's ministry, isn't that though really? No, he loves cheerful givers. It's really important that I give with a cheerful heart, with joy that flows from me. He tells us that we are to ask for the forgiveness of our sins, but what's the detail? As we forgive those who sin against us. That seems like it's an important detail, isn't it? Anybody have anybody who sinned against them and you're a little torqued, a little upset, a little resentful? Well, the detail is I need to ask God to forgive me to the measure that I'm willing to forgive people who sin against me. That's an important detail. Because if I just ask God to forgive me while I'm holding bitterness in my heart, God says he's not going to hear us. The detail is vital to the blessing, you see. We can go on and on. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, okay, love my, like Jesus loved the church. Oh, and he gave himself up for her. Oh, you know, your wives, you poking your husbands. Well, I'm coming next. Wives, submit to your husbands. Oh, okay, well, I guess. As to the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. You know, as to the Lord, right, with that kind of heart. Okay, the details. We often miss God's blessing because we neglect the details of the word. But secondly, and this is where it's in tension, and I see I won't have time for this. You have to get my notes. We often miss God's blessing because we believe our preferences to be commands of the Lord. In other words, we say these details are absolutely important. And without these details, I'm going to have a condemning spirit in the community of faith. And we lose the blessing. Lord, why is that? Because we place the detail that originated from our own heart to the level of the details that originate from God's heart, and we make ourselves equal to God when we do that. And it's destructive. It's terribly destructive. It's what the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' day, and Jesus calls them out. I love this little word picture. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe mint and dill and cumin." That's their detail. You tithe even the spices in your home, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought not to have done without neglecting the others. He calls them, "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing the camel." I love that picture. It's like, okay, you have a bowl of soup, and there's a gnat flies in it. What do? You pick the gnat out. Well, that's good. But you know, the truth is, a gnat's not going to kill you if you swallow it. But what will kill you is if you have a camel in your soup. And you, "Oh, let me get that gnat. Oh, I hate that gnat." And you, oh, you choke yourself spiritually. And that's what happens when we create details. And I had a list for us, but I won't even go there because it'll take too long. But honestly, I'm concerned for our own church family that there's so many details that we don't have anything scripture, but we're absolutely pounding on them as though they're equivalent to the commandments of God. And we're living in a spirit of condemnation against our brothers and our sisters because those details are important to me, right? Last two issues here in this scripture, and we'll get there quickly here. God's promises strengthen our faith. So there's an implicit promise behind the instructions. The implicit promise is you pour out oil, and what's going to happen? It's going to fill one jar, and it's going to keep, out of this little jar she has, and it's going to keep filling, filling, filling. That's the promise that this woman holds on to while she exercises faith. You know, you can imagine going to this little room and take my little jar and start, "Elisha, are you trying to make a fool out of me in front of my sons?" You know, that's what unbelief would do, right? No, I'm not trying to hold on to the promise, even when it seems absolutely impossible. The Lord will supply. If you obey the instruction that God's given, the Lord will care for your need. It's on the strength of a promise that she gathers empty jars. It's on the strength of promise she goes into an empty room with her sons. It is on the strength of the promise that she begins to pour oil out of her little jar into the big jar. Friend, do you ever find your faith wavering and weakening, especially in the face of desperate moments? I urge you, look to God's promises. Find one. They're like gold in the midst of the hills of Scripture. Find them, dig them out, and grab onto it. Take it to the bank of your heart. These are the things that strengthen us. God's promises are like manna falling from heaven. God calls us to gather them each morning and be nourished by them. If I were to ask you, what promise from God are you clinging to and counting on today? What would you say? I think many of us say a promise, because there's many days like this for me. Promise? I don't know if I even thought of one. And no wonder I have a hard time living by faith if I don't have any of the promises active. I'm clinging on to them in the midst of these difficulties. God says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that the invisible is actually real, and that he rewards those who seek him. That's the promise. He rewards us when we seek him in amazing ways. So our desperation activates faith. God's character directs our faith upward. God's word instructs our faith. It gives us very specific details to follow. God's promises strengthen our faith. And the last, God's grace smiles upon our faith. Verse 6 and 7, the oil doesn't stop flowing until the last jar is absolutely filled. And I love the fact that when the last jar is filled, the oil stopped flowing. There wasn't any extra. It was according to the measure of her faith, how many empty vessels can I gather, that the measure of God's provision and abundance. But God smiled upon her as she employs faith in obeying the Lord. Now, the woman's faith, it has no merit in and of itself, but her faith connects her to the Lord and to the Lord's provision. And what provision it is, here's the truth. The Lord always smiles upon a person who comes to him in faith. We will absolutely gain the blessing of the Lord when we trust him every time without exception. Without exception. I love the promise from Philippians 4, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Do you believe that? What needs do you have this morning? Come to church, what needs are there? I know for some of you, you're desperate. For some, you know, it's weighty. For some, it might be light, but for all of our needs, in order for God to be present, we come to him in faith, and he will supply every need of yours. To what measure? According to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, faith connects us to God's greatest blessing. That's salvation. It's the forgiveness of our sin. It's Jesus' work on the cross where Jesus died for sin and he suffered the punishment that our sins deserve in our place. He's our substitute. He became a curse for us so that we can be relieved of the condemnation of sin forever and ever. Friends, this woman went to Elisha, and Elisha provided for her in a way that was astounding. But I want you to know, we have one greater than Elisha. Amen? We have God's servant. We have the man of God. The ultimate, absolute, complete man of God. That is Jesus Christ, God's own son. And he is ours by faith. He is our savior. He is our king. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is our shepherd. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in him? If you've never believed in him, I want you to know, if you are not now in a state of desperation, you're going to get to a state of desperation. You're going to go one of two ways. You're going to either go upward toward the Lord by faith, or you're going to go away from the Lord in unbelief. And I want you to know, in unbelief, there's only more darkness and more death, more sorrow forever and ever and ever. If you go upward to faith in Jesus, you will never, ever be disappointed. You will never find him to be unfaithful to a single promise. And I urge you, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, come to him right now. Say, God, I need Jesus to be my savior, my provider, my deliverer. Call upon him even now. And for all of those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, faith is always active. It's a day-by-day trust. And I urge you to fill your hearts with God's promises and trust in him with whatever need you've carried in this morning. And he will supply every need according to the riches in glory in Jesus.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this radio ministry will be a blessing to your soul. Today's passage reminds us of the trials that we often experience and really of our desperate need for the Lord to act in miraculous ways to provide. So often we walk through trials that require faith, that require us to simply trust the Lord because we don't see any physical means by which our needs can be provided. And yet the Lord never fails his own, never fails his own. We want to encourage you by offering a resource titled Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. It's one of my favorites because it really helps us to think about the gospel and about the goodness of the Lord, about the truth of the Lord, about who he is and what he promises to do for us in the face of deep trials, in the face of our great needs. So if you believe this book would be an encouragement to you, please contact us. Ask us for the book Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. We pray that it would be a great encouragement and strengthening of your faith. God bless you.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.